I'm with Marjorie Librell, who has completed some research on zero-hour contracts and the impact they have on people in County Durham. And we're here at an event in Durham where we've been discussing today what needs to be done to help tackle this precarious form of employment, what unions are doing, but also the social impact that this form of work actually has on people's lives. So, Marjorie, you were talking about kind of the people you spoke to as part of your kind of research in County Durham. What were the sort of different issues that workers were having to address as a result of zero-hour contract work?
Well, I think it's very difficult. The main difficulty when interviewing people is try to be as accurate as possible and as global as possible at the same time. The first problem was definitely the family disruption issues that came out of it. And the implicit sanctions as well, they came out of zero-hour contracts. For example, many people told me that they were in the impossibility to refuse hours by fear of losing their jobs. And, of course, this is something we need to tackle. And the third problem is definitely the invisibility of these people. They're strapped into anonymity and they can't really talk about it between each other by fear and anxiety.
So you talked about how it has an impact on people's kind of family lives. So is that in terms of things like organising childcare, or is it causing stress? Were there any examples of that from the people you spoke to?
Yeah, well, for instance, I interviewed this woman who was 53 and he told me she was constantly on a night shifts and weekends. She was working for a private care sector company. And basically every time she sees a rota, she's not happy with it, but she can't complain about it. And so she's missing all the important events of her family and of her friends. So of course, on the long term, this has, you know, an impact on family life. That's just one example among others, yeah? For instance, I had a manager who his infant was sick once and he couldn't leave the workplace by fear of, you know, implicit sanctions once again.
So you feel that employers have got too much control as a result of this contract, and are actually kind of exploiting people or are using their power to get their kind of business priorities at the expense of different people's kind of personal lives. Do you think there's a better way of doing it than this?
Of course, and I think, you know, we lost the sense of priorities, and because since recession, getting back to growth and getting back to jobs has become so important that we're embedded in a very neoliberal and completely irrational narrative where people have to be in the first place thankful of getting a job, whatever the conditions are, and this has to change.
In the previous recession in Britain in the kind of the early 90s, there was an increase in zero-hour contracts. But that sort of declined quite quickly as the economy kind of recovered. I think the difference now in the Northeast and right across the country is that they're becoming normal for people, and that obviously stores up kind of a lot of problems. You talked about the kind of sense of invisibility of people in their workplace who are on zero-hour contracts, and there are some on permanent and some on sort of zero-hour contracts who don't feel they've got the same sort of role. What sort of impact do you think it has on people's self-esteem?
Oh, well, of course, I think it makes you feel on the long term worthless, depending on the management practices. But unfortunately, in many cases, you know, they don't invest on you, and so it seems that they don't believe in you. And I gave this example in a conference where all my team and I was just a student working at the time, but there were some people, you know, full-time there, or actually hoping to be full-time there, were told to watch YouTube videos on how to make proper coffee and cappuccino. And if your employer shows you that he doesn't believe in you, you know, on the long term, of course, you're going to feel, I think, worthless.
So, I mean, that highlights how insecure work often goes hand-in-hand with a lack of investment in people's kind of contribution to a company and their contribution in that workplace. One of the speakers, Jude Curtin-Darling, talked about how we need to have like more innovation and you know, a greater kind of worker contribution to how kind of organisations develop. Do you think that that's pretty difficult while people are kind of treated sort of in this way? Do you think that employers should be giving people more security if they want to tap into their expertise?
Yes, definitely. And I think also we need to address the different, I mean, people nowadays, they lose their pride of getting to work. And before it was all about work. I mean, this is the place where we spend more than 50% of our time, you know, and we need to get an identity from that.
Now, so you're from France originally and a different labour market entirely to that of the UK. What's the situation in France? Are there similarities? Are there differences? Is there greater security in similar jobs over in France, you know, for example, in fast food restaurants or hotels or other kind of industries than there are over here in the UK?
Yeah, I think there's definitely more security in France. We have other issues, of course, and I always say that the perfect country is between France and the UK, somewhere in the channel. But we, for instance, I work in McDonald's when I was a student, and as I said, I got assigned a contract where I was guaranteed 20 hours a week, and I could, you know, plan my life as a student and get a meaningful and you know, normal, regular income out of this. And I would say that the issue is cultural, because French people, I think, would complain about this and they wouldn't let this happen.
So don't you think we probably complain anywhere near enough?
And yeah, we need to be heard. I mean, and the unions have a crucial role to play in this. People need to be heard. People need to raise their voices.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that, Marjorie. And we'll be obviously sharing kind of your research and findings as well. But I want to thank you for your time just now. Thanks.